This is your captain speaking. As you can tell in the cabin, we're hitting some shaky times, and it's about to get worse. So please take a moment, make sure you are buckled, and the loved ones around you are buckled. Because we're about to hit Turbulent Truth. In 3, 2, 1.
Many mumbling mice, making midnight music in the moonlight. Mighty nice, many mumbling mice.
Wait. What, many mumbling...
Mice, making midnight music
in the moonlight.
In the moonlight. Yes.
Mighty nice.
Yes.
And then you work up the scale with that?
Yep. What?
Many mumbling mice...
Making midnight music in the moonlight. Mighty nice.
Many mumbling mice. Making midnight music in the moonlight. Did you screw it up?
I did not.
I did. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
I'm pretty sure you said lice.
Maybe I have some. I don't know. We're rolling. We're rolling. Hey, so.
Thanks, Mrs. Steins, for the vocal warm up. She was my junior high choir teacher.
Really?
And I still do
and
that
you guys did
all the time.
So I hear it from a distance. I don't think I knew what you were saying. I didn't.
The other one is aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum.
I'm not doing that. There's no telling what would come out.
Let's see it.
Aluminum linoleum, whoa. Aluminum linoleum, aluminum. Aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum, aluminum linoleum.
Yes, well done.
Not well done. Good grief. That's too hard.
Yeah. That's
whatever happened to...
What is your... You do one.
I do one because it opens up the head. Nya, 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 nya. Because it causes,
nya,
your,
nya.
Causes your face to relax. Nya, 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 nya. Okay, that one gets really annoying after a while. I have no idea why we went there, but...
I have allergies. I'm trying to not have the vocal fry.
She's purging. So as you can see, Scott is on the road again, like a bandit. He's gone. So she's here.
Scott, I miss you, so hurry back.
Yeah, she's like, so he's going to keep working?
I was like, wait a minute.
It's okay.
I have a garden to tend to, okay?
Oh, good grief. Boy, do we. Okay. Can I show that video?
Which video?
She took our daughter, Eva Rose.
Oh. Spring break was last week.
Yeah, spring was broke. So
it was, actually.
Totally broke, yes. So she was working in our church has a community garden, which is massive. She is what they call a garden champion, which means she's really good with making the dirt do what it should do, and she loves to tell people what to do. So she's beyond qualified for this gig.
That's not
that's completely
100%
true. What, 99.5%?
I don't actually like telling people what to do. I don't. I just want to mind my own business.
Really?
Play in the dirt.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not fighting. So
good.
This was so beautiful. This was so pretty to me. Hang on. This is our little girl just playing in the dirt, making taters.
Hi. What are we doing today?
We're adding new potatoes.
We're planting new potatoes?
We're planting new potatoes.
Is that your measuring stick?
Yes.
We are super official over here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you show me what an eye is?
One eye.
One eye. Yep.
Two eyes and three eyes.
Oh, okay. And how many are we putting in each little group?
Four.
Four. There we go. So we have done all of that today. And we still have that left to do. But everybody else is on lunch break. So we are finishing up. And then we'll be ready to roll. Is this fun, Eva Rose?
Yes.
Good. Well, thank you for your hard work. I love you.
Love you. Bye. Look, I'm finished.
Good job.
Look,
I'm finished.
I'm finished. That's it.
You know, it was amazing to watch her do that. I think she loves to hyper-focus on things. So because there were four potatoes that you put in a group.
And
they
measuring
had the
stick.
Measuring
oh,
stick.
Oh, yeah. Everything's correct.
It's very numerical, and she loves that kind of organization because everything else in her life is not organized at all. So I think she really loved it. I don't even know how many rows we did.
A lot.
A lot. Yeah.
A lot, yeah. That garden is huge.
It is pretty large.
But, cool thing, all that food goes to feed people that don't have food, which is pretty awesome.
Really cool. Yeah. But what's funny, and this is a total squirrel moment, I was just thinking about it, there is a tree on the line of the property, and it's bent. Didn't I show it to you then?
You did.
Okay, so I learned about this a few years ago when we were in Henry Horton State Park.
Right.
And they were like, this is an Indian trail tree. And I was like, what?
Well, no, honey, that's a Native American, that's an indigenous people's trail tree.
What?
Unless they came from, you know, next door to Pakistan, you can't say Indian.
Indigenous.
Unless you're in Cleveland.
Indigenous American.
You can still say Indian in Cleveland. The Cleveland Indians are
I know,
still
but
here.
What did, indigenous?
Indigenous people's group.
People's tree. Right. So anyway, they would take...
It's an Indian tree. Sorry.
Yes.
Here it's an Indian tree.
So they would take saplings and they would bend it, tie it down, and so it would be like a 90 degree angle. It's a trail tree, so either it was to lead them to water, lead them to, like on a hunting path.
Like which way to the beach kind of thing?
Yes. So I was telling our Cultivate guys this, and they were giving me such grief. They're like, okay, yeah, that's an Indian tree. I mean, days of insufferable ridicule.
Yes.
So I finally got sick of it, and I sent them the Wikipedia page, and I was like, ta-da. And Charlie, who's head of the whole thing.
Fabulous, Charlie.
Oh, I love Charlie.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And Jackie, they're fabulous. Fabulous humans. So he signs his email Chuck, American Indian name. And I was like, okay, you're funny. So I wrote back, Chuck, comma, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck of a woodchuck, you know, the whole thing.
Yes, that was quick.
And then I signed, old Indian proverb.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck of a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Anyway, it was hysterical.
I love that garden thing, though. That is, if you don't do that, you should do that. If not for food, to give away food, or to get ready for, you know, the impending plague of locusts that are on the horizon. Good grief. This world has gotten crazy. Oh, check this out. We talked about it.
It's the wrong way.
We talked about it, and we are delivering...
He made room for my bun. That was nice.
I did make room for your bun. And you also had a little cat ears. Yeah, you kidding me?
I brought bedazzling.
You're bedazzling your tinfoil hat.
I don't
that
know.
Is awesome. I don't know how much.
Oh, it sticks. That's fantastic. I didn't know if it would stick.
You're just going to do one? Okay, that's good.
It's fine. Little... Yeah, we don't have time. Okay. Moving along. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's good.
So we put these on for this next little segment. You know, the... A lot of people, not us, of course, but there are some people that doubt the efficacy of the and we found some footage. It's kind of been going around of our beloved Dr. Fauci. I'm going to call him Mr. Fauci from now on because I don't really think he's a doctor. I don't think so.
Who knows?
Either way, they were going door to door trying to talk people into taking the jab. And they found one fabulous African-American man that basically told him to take the jab and shove it. And it is beautiful. It is so beautiful. We just have to watch it if you guys are okay with it.
People in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot or a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccination.
Well, it used to take years.
Okay, it used to.
You know how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough. And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allowed thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious
than the flu. Though.
Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none,
yeah,
but the previous year,
nobody died this
about
year.
20 to 30,000. You know, how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
Well, the number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
Preach.
Something else going on with that.
But I'm glad millions of people, like me and most everybody here, didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. And he gets in his car, puts on his hand sanitizer. Wow.
Well, so, he touched the railing, so.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, he would need to fix that.
God bless that man.
That was in 2021. Mm-hmm. That dude was way ahead of the curve. We need to send him one of these, though, because I think it would look good in the Bronx or wherever that was. I don't know. Somewhere
it was in D.C. because wasn't that Bowser?
Oh, was that her? Mm-hmm. Oh, Bowser.
Bowser.
So, obviously, the truth is all coming out on that stuff. And this is now a badge of honor if you're if you have the cojones to actually put one on. I may just start... Just going through the day with one on. Just really go for it.
And wear your shirt.
Yes.
Identify as a conspiracy.
Yes, I identify as a conspiracy theorist. My pronouns are told you so. I think I'm just actually going to get a hat. Maybe a baseball hat. And then just cover it in tinfoil. So it'll be comfortable. Because this is kind of not, I have to say. Metal is not really best on a bald head. But
I can't feel anything.
No, of course not. So that would be fun to get some footage of me just walking around with a tinfoil hat on.
Would it be fun?
It would for me. It would for me.
You'd be like, what?
So while we're visiting D.C., did you see, I'll say Kamala. I'll say her name. It is not the name I like to use for her.
Or is it Kamala?
Kamala.
Kamala. She says it wrong every single time, it's confusing.
So her alma mater, Howard University, I believe it is, they were in the college NCAA tournament, and they got defeated, sadly. Trounced, more like it, actually. Either way, she wound up in the locker room to give them a post-defeat pep talk. And I don't, I want you to give me your first thoughts.
I'm gonna take this off.
Okay, are we done with this?
Yes,
okay.
I mean, we can put it back on.
I'm fine. My head was getting hot. I dare somebody to wear those out in the middle of the sun. Good grief. You could fry your brain.
Or a lightning storm.
Yeah, either way. So let's watch our vice president in all of her brilliance inspiring these young men who have suffered a terrible defeat.
You played hard, you played to the very last second. You made all us Bison so, so proud. You hustled out there, you are smart, you are disciplined, you put everything you had into the game. And you know, that's what it's about, right? Until the last minute, you guys did that. You didn't stop until the last second, you did not stop. And that is so inspiring. So you keep playing with chin up and shoulders back, because you showed the world who Bison are, right? I mean, you literally what you have done is in historic proportion.
Oh, there's literally.
Wow. Literally in historic proportion, literally. Okay.
They lost, literally.
Am I wrong though? Did she not look drunk to you? Am I just judging? She looked hammered to me.
Well, she always looks like that. The one thing that I want to find out is from a body language expert, what is all this?
Oh, that little shuffly thing?
The little shaky thing that she does all the time.
I don't know. Is that
a nervous thing?
I believe she got it from Joe. I'm kidding. I have no idea if he does it or not. But yeah, it is a weird thing. But there's a couple of times that she's like shaky on her feet. Her speech is barely slurred to me. It's okay if she had a few drinks at the basketball game.
I think she sounds like a normal.
Like she normally does?
Kamala, yeah.
Yeah, well, when you lower the bar that much, you can probably walk around hammered and get by with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just my thoughts. So, okay, so there's one more thing that I posted online this week. The whole banking crisis. You know, it's still kind of going. I guess the UBS, the big bank over there, bought Credit Suisse. That bank is 187 years old.
That's sad.
And just now, it had to be purchased for kind of pennies on the dollar. What does that say? What does that say in the grand scheme of life? Digital central bank currency. Here we come. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
And we're back.
Digital central bank currency. Here we come. That's what it is. I'm just telling you. There's no way around. They're setting us up, or they're trying to. But it ain't going to work. It's just not. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm sticking to my gut because I actually feel like God's letting me see a few things, and I'm hearing some things, and they're getting confirmed here and there. God's going to do something amazing in short order, and all of this is going to seem silly. Because there are bigger fish to fry. There are. And I know it looks horrible everywhere. I get it. But I just don't think he's going to leave us floundering. I don't.
No.
Not his children. The rest of the world might be floundering. Joe, of course, has his own financial issues.
Ooh-wee.
That seem to be mounting. How many crimes did you tell
me? They said 24, so 24-ish. Federal felonies.
And this is not little dollars.
Federal
these are
felonies.
These are big dollars. And not only are they federal felonies, the people on the other end of the deal are the Chinese Communist Party. And their mission is to destroy us. Mm-hmm. That makes his collaboration with them, his dealings with them, his favorable choices, we'll say, regarding them, and how it affects us, it makes us have to introduce the T word. It's terrible. It's terrible. I wouldn't say treason because somebody would, you know, get all upset if I were to say that, but it is terrible.
Yeah.
It is terrible. And there are payments to be made when you're that terrible. I'm just saying. Here's Joe.
I hope y'all followed along.
They did. Okay. Here's Joe. Taking some reporters' questions because he's so good at it. And in particular, I want you to see what his body language does when confronted with the question. It's amazing. You can't get more telling than this body language.
Any rationale to how GOP's memo about her family dealings, sir? Any rationale to how GOP's new memo about her family dealings, sir? Yes, you're, revealing that Hunter Biden's business associates sent over $1 million to three of their family members. Any reactions to that report?
Any reactions to the Russian
He totally backs up. He just goes, I'm going somewhere else.
The bigger question is, does he have a plant in his pocket?
He does have a plant in his
pocket.
What
is it? Is it supposed to be four-leaf clovers or something?
I think it must have been, March 17th, and he was just trying to fit in. He didn't want to get pinched.
That is a man that's in full-blown dementia. I see that stuff. My grandmother died of dementia, and it is the classic signs, just complete confusion.
I know.
And then a little bit further, what am I trying to say? Later in this interview, he shuffles forward, and that's the dementia shuffle.
Yep,
and I'm just like, wow.
It is.
Senior abuse.
It is senior abuse. It is. His wife should be ashamed, all of his handlers, all of his family, all the people that are benefiting from having that facade of a president pretending to be a president. They should all be ashamed. They should all be punished. It's wrong. Just on a moral, personal level. It is senior abuse. It is.
I don't like the man, but that's cruel. It's just cruel.
Yeah, super cruel. There was one thing that I saw this week that was so difficult, and I kind of want to share it if it's not too intense.
What was it?
It was a former Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel, 3 tours in Afghanistan, testifying before a congressional committee regarding the withdrawal, some would say abandonment, of Afghanistan. Everybody talks about the $85 billion that we left in you know, planes and tanks and gear and all that stuff, not to mention Lord knows how much cash. The real price was all those people, the thousands of people who over the 20-year period that we were there committed to us to fight alongside our American heroes, and we left them behind. We did. Yeah, we're going to watch this because it's sobering.
This is going to break my heart. I know it.
It's beautiful and difficult.
Now I recognize Lieutenant Colonel Mann for his opening statement.
Chairman McCall, Ranking Member Meeks, committee members, thank you for this opportunity to testify before you today. I'm here to relive August 2021 with all of you, not as a Democrat or as a Republican, but as an American combat veteran that's going to do my best to represent over 800,000 Afghanistan war veterans and their families, but with my own point of view. I'm a Green Beret and a retired Lieutenant Colonel with nearly 23 years in service and 3 combat tours in Afghanistan. I'd like to start with a question. What does an American promise mean today? There's a promise in the military that is both explicit and implicit. I have your back. We were trained that way. It's in our blood. But in August 2021, the leaders who held us to that standard went silent while our Afghan allies were left behind. The U.S. government may not have had the backs of our Afghan allies, but our veterans did. For as long as we've been a nation, our veterans have been a moral compass for doing the right thing, especially in hard times. As we try to figure out where to go from here, I suspect we're going to need that moral compass more than ever. You won't find many veterans sitting out here today who relish being involved in this Afghan evacuation. We paid our dues, and we tried to move on with our lives. I know jumping back into the quagmire of Afghanistan was certainly not part of my military retirement plan. But like thousands of other veterans across the country watching Kabul collapse on August 15, 2021, I received a phone call from a friend that absolutely crushed me. "I'm not afraid to die," he said to me. "I just don't want to die alone." Those were the words that dragged me back into the Afghanistan conflict. His name was Sergeant First Class Nezamuddin Nizami, but I just called him Nizam. His father was a Mujahideen fighter who was killed by the Soviets when he was 4 months old. He had no money, no family, no hope. Yet somehow he became an Afghan commando, one of the elite warriors who were trained by U.S. Special Operations to do really 95% of the fighting in the country. Green Berets, including me, who worked with Nizam, we loved him like a brother. He volunteered for every mission, every day. He was family. But despite numerous inquiries to the State Department, Congress, and even Army Special Operations Headquarters about his SIV status, Kabul was falling and no one was coming to help him. This was a guy who was shot through the face protecting U.S. Green Berets from a Taliban ambush. And for me, he was the same guy that even while he was being hunted and texted by the Taliban would call me to ask how my kids were doing. Over the next few weeks, I assembled a small team of volunteers, mostly veterans from across the country, that we called Task Force Pineapple to guide Nizam and hundreds more to safety. We didn't have any resources or battlefield access or time, but we had something that a lot of people didn't: relationships and trust. We used cell phones, knowledge of the terrain, and an encrypted chat room to guide at-risk commandos and their families at night, navigating through that suffocating crowd, through an open sewage canal, and then into position to link up with known NATO service members like Aiden, who were standing watch near a 4-foot hole in the perimeter fence. Pineapple wasn't the only group. There were hundreds of ad hoc volunteer groups doing similar work, many of them sitting out here today. From breakfast tables to basements across the world, Jane, a Gold Star wife who lost her husband, Chris, in Afghanistan. Will, a double amputee, fighting to save the interpreter who saved his life on the battlefield, and dozens, even hundreds more. We helped hundreds of allies, but thousands were left behind, and at great cost to this vulnerable veteran population who had already given so much. My buddy, Steve, who was racked with post-traumatic stress and a traumatic brain injury from an IED, screamed into his pillow and pounded his bed because his children were in the next room, as his former interpreter was detained at a Taliban checkpoint and was pleading over the phone, "Steve, they are beating my wife. My children are watching this, for God's sakes. What should I do? Can I fight them? Why is this happening?" Jay, a former Navy SEAL in Pineapple, received a text on Signal from his Afghan partner. "My daughter has been trampled, sir. I know we're going to miss our chance to escape, but she's unconscious and barely breathing." "It's okay, my friend. Thank you for trying." This whole thing has been a gutting experience. I never imagined I would witness the kind of gross abandonment followed by career-preserving silence of senior leaders, military and civilian. As a result of the way that we've left Afghanistan, we're on the front end of a national security crisis, as 27 violent extremist groups are now operating on former NATO security bases with Taliban top cover. And I think we're on the front end of a mental health tsunami, as 73% of our Afghan war veterans say they feel betrayed by how this war ended. Calls to the VA hotline have spiked 81% in the first year since the Afghan withdrawal, and they keep coming. My friend Brad was found dead a few months ago in a Mississippi hotel room. His wife Dana confirmed to me that the Afghan abandonment reactivated all the demons that he had managed to put behind him from our time in Afghanistan together, and he just couldn't find his way out of the darkness of that moral injury. America is building a nasty reputation for multi-generational systemic abandonment of our allies that we leave as smoldering human wreckage from the Montagnards of Vietnam to the Kurds in Syria. Our veterans know something else that this committee might do well to consider. We might be done with Afghanistan, but it's not done with us. The enemy has a vote. If we don't set politics aside and pursue accountability and lessons learned to address this grievous moral injury on our military community and right the wrongs that have been inflicted on our most at-risk Afghan allies, this colossal foreign policy failure will follow us home and ultimately draw us right back into the graveyard of empires where it all started. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions.
Okay.
That is heartbreaking.
Oh, that makes me so mad. It makes me so angry. Oh, shame, 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 shame on Millie and Biden and anybody else that had anything to do with that horrible decision, that horrible process. Shame. Lots of it. It's maddening. And there has to be resolution. That's not who we are. That is not who you are. That is not what Americans do. It's not. It is not. So
that
that's got to be
so mad. I don't even have anything to say.
Yeah, I'm livid. Well, I do have. We have one place to go here toward the end. That'll bring some light. I'm not sure where to start on this story. We have told the story of Coy Griffin, guy that headed up Cowboys for Trump. Friend of mine, Everett Laster, literally had a vision. That happens to him occasionally. It's never happened to me. I'd love to have that. Anyway, he reached out to me and said, "Okay, this is January 6th. So yeah, I'm sure that we're in shock that I've not been arrested actually, but I wasn't there, but Coy was, and I knew he was going to be there." Everett said, "Man, at that rally that they're doing today, there's going to be, you know, probably a million people, give or take, all told." And he said, "I saw somebody get up on stage and get on their knees and read 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called according to my name," most of you know this scripture. And everybody there got on their knees and prayed out loud. He said it was the most powerful visual audio thing you can imagine. And it moved people around the world to see that happen, to cry out to God, help us, help us.
Is that the beginning of the revival?
I'm just saying.
Could have been.
I'm just saying. So, true to form, it was really, really freezing that cold that day, as I recall. Wind was blowing nuts. And Trump was, he was late, shocker, right? And Coy called me about half hour before the thing and said, so it looks like I'm not going to be able to do that. He wanted to do it. He's all in. He's just that guy. He's a cowboy from New Mexico. You can search Coy Griffin's name and you'll get the story quickly. There's an amazing documentary.
And what a great cowboy name, Coy.
Yeah, he's so awesome. He's a good man. Anyway, he was going to do it. He said, you know, I don't think I'm going to get on stage. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I said, man, I just talked because I'm prone to do that. I said, I don't know that it matters. I think you can just find somebody with a bullhorn and just do it. Well, fast forward, the whole rally happens. A few people marched down toward the Capitol.
I don't know if y'all heard about it or not,
but it happened. Coy did not go into the Capitol. He did walk up the steps. Not against the law, was escorted there, I'm sure. There's a big, you know, outdoor thing that goes around it. And from that point, from that perch, then we've got footage of it. It's beautiful. He takes a megaphone from some dude and leads what looks to be, I don't know, probably 10 or 15,000 people. They were just all jammed in there so tight. And it's beautiful. Okay, I thought, okay, cool, it happened, right? No, God dropped this song on me, and I knew the moment it happened. I said, oh man, this is something. This is not just me being a songwriter. This is something. I just knew it. Yesterday, I get a call from Coy's content creator guy, a guy named Matt Strzok. He's awesome. He said, so I was at Mar-a-Lago last weekend. I got invited because I had helped produce a video with, I guess, Trump's content guy, Cameron something, I don't know. I hope to know him at some point. Anyway, he said, we're sitting there, and it was a beautiful thing. I participated with him making a video of a song called Hero. He said after the song had played during the thing, Trump, I guess, was at a table close to him, had his back to him, but he said he literally turned around, pushed his chair back, turned around and pointed at me and smiled and gave me this. It was like, the fact that he knew, A, I was there, B, that I had anything to do with that speaks to his attention to detail, which is apparently a real key to success, I'm told. Anyway, that happened, but he played the song for Cameron. Fast forward to, hey, we're going to arrest Trump. You know, this New York charge, you know, for all that stuff that went on with Stormy, what's her name. We don't defend Trump. I don't know him. I've never met him. I don't care. I've said it 100 times. I don't care what they say. I care what they do. And he has done pretty much everything he's done. I thought, yeah, you know what? That's good. That was good for us. Not just as Americans, but as believers. And anyway, I get a call from Matt yesterday, and he's listen, this is wild, but you know, when they said Trump was going to get arrested, he first said, hey, protest, we got to take our country back, right? He put that message out on social media. And then he came back because, you know, the left reacted as they're prone to do. They were, oh, he's trying to start a civil war. So he came back and said, protest in prayer, pray. Well.
Can you imagine Biden saying that?
Yeah, really? No. So,
staunch Catholic.
Ding, 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 in Cameron's mind, that song. So he said, they want to put this out today. I'm working on a video for that song. They want to put it out today. I was like, what are you talking about? It's not even finished. The recording, the music was not even finished. That was really just a rough. Well, I called my guy that helps me, Larry Hall. He's a brilliant guy. He and I had done the whole thing, just the two of us. And he's like, you know what? Turns out I've got time. Let's do it. So we did our part. Matt has done his part. The video is amazing. And I just want to, let's just end the show with it. It's yeah. It's a moment. And it's a, for me, just on a personal thing, it's a real confirming thing. Those moments that I think I hear God, but then I question it because that's what we do as a rule. I did hear him. Something's going to happen with this song. There'll be a, this is like very Trump heavy, this video, but we're working on, Matt's helping me do another one that is all the footage instead of Trump shots will be the Asbury Revival, all those pockets of revival that are breaking out. Mm-hmm. I think this song has something to do with that awakening.
Start with Koi's footage though.
Oh, absolutely.
That's definitely the beginning.
Oh yeah, no question. Anyway, it's special. And I'm glad to be a part of it. The ending of this song, there's a section, you'll hear it. It may be from just a musical creative point. It is one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of. It takes...
That says a lot.
I've been here a long time. it takes you away. So anyway, we'll end with that. Who knows where it's going to wind up? I'm going to put it on iTunes. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll have a hit. That'd be weird. I'm old. I don't know if you guys know that or not. But no, it's just an honor to be here with you.
It's an honor to be nominated.
It's an honor to be nominated. I don't care if I win. That's a lie!
So funny.
So, thankful for you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for being
you.
Here. I love
Scott,
doing this
hurry.
With you.
Hurry back.
She wants you to hurry back. I kind of don't care anymore. I'm kidding! You know I'm kidding.
He is totally kidding.
Please come back. Love you. And I'm still Gary Chapman. I didn't mention it earlier. I'm sure you said it. You saw it underneath.
I'm still Cassie Chapman.
And we still want you to go to turbulenttruth.com and get some of our fabulous shirts because...
I will have Farm Farts available soon.
Farm Farts is in create. If you watched last week, that'll make sense to you. If not, you're going to see this shirt and go, oh, I have to have that. It's very funny. Anyway, we love you guys. And until we come back, the truth is going to remain turbulent, and this is it. This is Turbulent Truth.
Indeed. Did I get it?
You did.
I nailed it.
She nailed it. Killed it.
That was the vocal warm-up.
Yeah. Mini mumbling mice. I can't do it.
Dear family, throughout salvation history, those who strive to be faithful to Almighty God are confronted by his enemies. Today in our time and place, there is a cadre of globalist elites trying to consolidate their power and take away our God and our God-given freedoms. But there is one man who stands amongst us, who stands with us, who stands for us, who stands against them, and that man is President Trump. So let us stand with him as he stands with us and lift him up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us, upon our country, and upon the only president we have had who had the courage to openly defend our lives and our liberty, especially our right to life and our religious liberty. Send forth your spirit, send forth your heavenly host to guard, guide, and lead President Trump and faithful Christians here and around the world, as together we labor in your vineyard, all for your greater glory. We ask this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'm gonna hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land.
Petition a prayer for our nation, Father. We just pray, Lord God, that you watch over this situation, Lord. We lift Trump up to you, Father. We just pray, God, that you give him wisdom and grace and strength and courage to navigate through this storm, Lord. We just pray a hedge of protection around President Trump. We pray the best is yet to come.
Just pray. Pray.